This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker. This is the Michael K. Show.
So all the fans that were at the opener, and they booed Stanton, I don't know, in the seventh inning.
Driven deep to left center field. There it goes! See ya! A monster grand slam for Stanton. And the Yankees lead 6-0.
And the guy who called up,
I think they should trade Mike Stanton.
Do you realize that that's the seductive part of his game? That he can do that. And if he stays healthy, he will do that. Even he said yesterday, a little bit of an overreaction by the media. I mean, I had 8 at-bats. It wasn't the media, by the way. It was the fans.
The Michael K. Show.
This is what this guy can do when he's right.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, first couple of hours, we've given away $500. We've talked about the Yankees, the Mets, awful loss, the Knicks, the Nets. And we haven't even touched on Sam Darnold being traded yesterday. Now, we covered that for a lot of the show yesterday. But we said, let's bring in an expert that can really explain how he's going to fit in Carolina and what exactly the Jets are getting in Zach Wilson. So we rang up our friend Mel Kiper Jr., and he's nice enough to join us now. Mel, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing?
I'm good, Michael. It's great to be with you.
All right, so does Sam succeed under Matt Rhule and with the weapons he has in Carolina?
Oh, I think he definitely can. I think he's shown that already. I try to talk about the last 3 years with the Jets, how he did show in certain games and stretches of games, particularly late in the year. If you go to the last 4 games of 2018, last 9 games of 2019, last 4 or 5 games of this past year, I mean, he was putting up some good numbers and doing a pretty good job and showing he could be a good starting quarterback in this league. And I think it's just the fact that, you know, you have a new, obviously new situation there, coaching staff. The GM didn't draft him, Joe Douglas, and obviously can reset the clock in terms of a rookie quarterback coming in, and they obviously have a high opinion of Zach Wilson, a higher opinion of Zach Wilson than they do Sam Darnold. So for me, and I think Sam Darnold to me was a better quarterback than Zach Wilson. That's just me coming out with what Sam was coming out. And I didn't behind Josh Allen. I didn't have him as a number one quarterback that year, and I talked about why he wasn't, in my opinion, the quarterback Josh Allen was, and it was the turnovers, which he's got to fix that. Like, just like Daniel Jones started to fix it with the Giants, Sam has to as well, but he's got weapons, he's got a line, it should be better. They could address that with the 8th pick, with Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon. And I think now a fresh start will help Sam. Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting, Mel, because the one big debate we've had over the last few months is how much of his lack of production over the last 3 years was because of him, or the lack of coaching, or the lack of talent. He's going to be 24 on June 5th. So entering his fourth year, barely 24 years old. Mayfield went first overall because they felt he was more NFL ready, at least Cleveland did. How much has the lack of growth are the Jets responsible for in those first 3 years, and how much damage has been done, and how much does Carolina have to fix once they get him?
Well, he's going to a great situation with Joe Brady, with the talent that they have down there, the fact that there's a fresh start and an environment down there where I think he'll have less pressure. He's in a division where Tom Brady can't play forever, and you think about where Atlanta is with a 36-year-old Matt Ryan, and you think where New Orleans is kind of figuring out after Drew Brees. He says 23 right now. He's the same age as Kyle Trask, who's in this draft. He's younger than some quarterbacks in this draft. So for me, Sam went through. We talked about it today on ESPN, the trials and tribulations and the rough, patches of games and going dealing with mono and a shoulder and seeing ghosts against New England and all the things that came out of that. And still, like I say, having those stretches in those 3 years where he did pretty well, considering he had subpar talent around him. And like I say, a coaching staff obviously needed to be changed and was. So I think it's just a great scenario for Carolina to benefit from what happened with the Jets, with Sam Darnold not being able to fulfill the potential that he displayed at USC, coming to Carolina in an environment that should be very positive, and now the Jets have to move forward with Zach Wilson. And Zach's going to be under tremendous pressure because Sam's going to, I think, have success in Carolina. They don't get Pitts, Waddle, Smith, or Chase, by, you know, taking Zach Wilson at number two and not trading down and keeping Sam. So there's going to be pressure there, knowing that those four receivers could be all spectacular in the NFL. But they do have a lot of picks this year and next year to do a lot of good work in the draft, which they have been able to do. One thing Joe Douglas and his scouts do is scout well and do well in the draft. So they do have the picks to surround Zach and with the kind of talent he needs to be surrounded by to have any chance of being successful, which they did not do with Sam Darnold, unfortunately.
All right, Mel, let me really dig deep with you. I know you're playing 3D chess. I'm playing checkers. I look at him. I look at Sam, and I just didn't see the greatness. Steve Young has come on and said, I don't care if it's bad stuff around him. He's got to rise above it if he's great. Tell me what you see in Sam that you think that he could be a top-flight quarterback. What is it that you see that a layman like me does not see?
Well, I watched him in all the games, and then I saw a lot of Jet games, and you're obviously able to watch everything these days in the NFL, and I saw him go through, like I say, some moments where he looked like anything but an NFL starting, a successful NFL starting quarterback. Also saw games where he was, you know, doing a great job out there and looking like he could be the guy, and it wasn't consistent, but I highlighted the games later in the year because he got on stretches where he was, you know, played some playoff teams late this year and did pretty good. He had a stretch of 14 touchdowns, 5 picks last 9 games of 2019. So to me, he has had opportunities and has shown that he can be. Had he not shown it, I'd say, oh, well, I get it. And when he came out of USC, why was he the third pick in the draft? Why did some think he should have gone number one? Why did everybody have him ahead of Josh Allen, who was taking a lot of criticism up until he started to play well this year? I thought it was unfair. We talked about it on the show. I thought he had made strides, and he had shown significant improvement, but people weren't even believing that or seeing that. And then this year it all came together. Now Josh is being praised as an elite young quarterback, and Sam Darnold sitting there saying, oh, what happened? Well, a few years ago, they kind of flipped that. Everybody was praising Sam's, and he was going to be great, and Josh was not going to be the guy. He was not going to be a successful quarterback. So it's amazing how things change in this league, but no quarterback, and I don't care what anybody says, you cannot have success in this league at the quarterback position unless you get some help. And if you look at the personnel that he had to play with the New York Jets, I don't know many quarterbacks could do any better. You know, maybe they could. I don't see it. So I think he got dealt a bad deck. And, you know, to me, that's unfortunate for everybody. But the good thing is for the Jets, they can kind of figure it out with Zach Wilson. I do think Joe Douglas will surround Zach with better talent than Sam had. And if that's the case, it's a good trade for both parties. That's what a trade should be, guys. It's not supposed to be where one team steals a guy and the other team gets nothing. Sam goes to Carolina. They get a 2, a 4, and a 6, which is more. What, a week ago, everybody said they're going to get no better than the third. I said, if that's the case, keep them. Keep him and let him play with Zach Wilson. If he's great, fine. Then you trade Zach and you get a haul. If he's not, you let him go as a free agent. So it's a win-win if you're only going to get a third. But now you get a 2, a 4, and a 6. And guess what, guys? That should be 2 starters and a contributor. So you're getting 2 starters and a contributor for Sam Darnold, and you get Zach Wilson. That's not a bad deal. And they get a quarterback that they can win with, they think, that they would not have gotten. They're not going to get Deshaun Watson based on the situation there. They weren't going to get Russell Wilson. At the 8th pick, they may not have been able to get the quarterback that they wanted. 3 of them are going to be gone right at the top, 1, 2, maybe 4. So this is a way to kind of salvage things for Carolina to get an improvement over what they had.
And where do you rank Wilson, Mel, and how close is he to Lawrence?
I have him 3rd. I have Justin Fields 2nd, and I have Zach Wilson 3rd. I have, obviously, Trevor 1, and then as far as the big board of quarterbacks is concerned, I have Justin Fields 2. Most people don't, but I do, and I have Zach Wilson 3. I mean, Zach had a great year, but he did not play any big-time opponents. He played 2 ranked teams. One was 21, one was 14. He had some struggles in 2019 coming off the shoulder injury. He improved dramatically in the areas he needed to, which was sensing pressure in the 4th quarter, holding onto the ball, not that he's throwing any bad interceptions. So he did make monumental progress from 2019 to 2020. I get that. The arm talent's undeniable. And I think now all of a sudden it's about the talent around him and how quickly they expect him to be the guy. I mean, Sam's gone through all that. I grew up in an era where, and I know you guys did as well, where you developed a quarterback. Now that's not really the case anymore. If you're not really good by year 3, you're kicked to the curb, certainly by year 4. And in Sam's case, they don't give him no excuses. It's like, okay, you didn't show what you were supposed to at this point. I didn't draft you. Now we'll send you to Carolina. And like I said, well, this will play out. In a couple of years, we'll know where Zach is and where Sam is, and we can all assess it then.
Rex Ryan was on with Barton Hahn today, and he said he loves Zach Wilson. He said, but it is a red flag to him that a quarterback on a college team was not a captain. Do you have any input on that, and do you believe that that's an important omission?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it's a case where, you know, you're talking about a kid who didn't have tremendous success. Keep in mind, in 2019, he had fumbles. He was sacked a lot. He threw some interceptions, some bad interceptions. So this was his year. He was coming off shoulder surgery in 2019. Like I said, this is a guy who came way off the radar. When you watched him against Navy in that opening game and then Troy, they outscored, had the big games, big offensive performances. And boy, Zach Wilson looks like a different quarterback, but he's playing cupcake after cupcake. So, again, this wasn't really his team until this year. Up until then, he had had moments of really looking good, but nothing that was consistent. So, and then he had the shoulder surgery, and this year he put it all together. Like I said, the improvement was monumental. I mean, this was significant improvement, substantial improvement between 2019 and 2020 for Zach Wilson. So, you know, if he would have had this year and then gone into next year, yes, he would have been the leader of that football team and without question the captain. But he didn't have those back-to-back years because, like I say, 2019 was a struggle coming off that shoulder injury.
Mel, if you're the Jets or were the Jets evaluating what you were going to do at quarterback, how much would trading the two and trading down and getting Pitts factored into your decision?
A lot. That's a big factor because I don't think Pitts comes along very often. Players with that ability, that unique ability, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, and Jalen Waddle are all special wide receivers. Waddle's also a great punt returner. Smith could be as well. Chase was uncoverable in 2019 with Burrow and Jefferson and Terrace Marshall and that group. So they're all four really good. I mean, they're outstanding players. They don't come along all the time. Sometimes receivers get forced up. We saw that with Corey Davis and John Ross. We've seen it with some others. These guys are in that A.J. Green, Julio Jones category, and Kyle Pitts is a unique talent you probably will very rarely ever see, a guy that is a combo wide receiver tight end, so with that kind of skill set. So you're losing all four. You're going to get one of those four, guaranteed, if you move down. You're going to get one of those four, but now they don't get any of the four, and they move to Darnold. They get the picks, though. Getting the two, the four, and the six is big. That sixth-round pick could be a contributor, could maybe be a starter, but the second and four should be a starter. So those are three football players will help this team that they get by trading Sam Darnold. Had they just gotten the three guys, we'd have been here. This would have been a horrible deal, and I don't think they would have made the trade. I don't think they would have traded them for just the three. Had Carolina not come through with the two, the four, and the six, this trade may have never happened, and maybe Sam Darnold would have still been a Jet. And there was talk, even weren't brought up today, had the Jets not picked two, had they been picking three and not been able to get Zach Wilson, they probably would have stayed with Sam Darnold. And so it's the Zach Wilson factor. I think Joe Douglas saw something in Zach Wilson this year, and what he did, well, he was phenomenal this year. There's no denying that Zach Wilson lit it up. Now, he did it against inferior opposition. He did it with some good offensive linemen, tight end, receivers. He got some help. They ran the ball. He had some help. But there's no questioning the fact that this kid can throw the football with the best of them. Now, the competition is the reason why you got to try to, calm down just a little bit, because we have to see going from what he played at BYU this year of the National Football League, it's going to take a little bit of time to adjust. And that's the one unknown, is how will he deal with big time, the best in the world, when he's coming off a 2020 season where they faced no Power 5 teams and only two ranked teams. One was at 21, one was at 14, and he had talent around him. That's the question, and that would be the only thing I would throw out there. It'll wait and see. Can he make that big time adjustment from, we're talking about Trey Lance, 1AA. Zach Wilson, like I said, didn't play a Power 5 team. We'll see how much an opportunity he has to sit, watch, and learn before he's forced to be out there dealing with criticism and everybody saying, what are we doing? What are we seeing out here? You guys see how quickly the criticism becomes, this guy's a bust. By year two, you better be playing pretty good football at quarterback, or that's what everybody seems to be considering you.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Talking with ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, Rich Samini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, was on with us yesterday and said that there was some talk within the Jet building about drafting Zach and keeping Sam. I thought that would have been a terrible idea. What's your take on doing something like that?
I thought it would have been a great idea. That's how we differ. Everybody has different opinions. I respect what you're saying. I thought it would have been a win-win. And for this reason, if Sam turns out to be the Josh Allen year, like Josh had this year, where really everybody said it came together, I saw progress. So with Sam, you know, that would have been expecting a lot. Josh had made significant progress from year one to year two because he had better talent around him. He had a better situation. He had the GM that drafted him, the head coach that drafted him, has been there the whole time. That's a huge difference when you're talking about coaching changes, coordinator changes, the COVID year, all the interruptions and all that. So Josh had continuity and consistency with all that, and they got Stephon Diggs. So I think you look at it and you say, okay, where will Sam be? Where would Sam be with another year? You know, I think he could make tremendous strides. So if he doesn't, then you have Zach Wilson. If he did play like, say, a Josh Allen did and had that tremendous improvement year, then you can trade Zach and, like I said, get a haul in return. His value is not going to diminish if he didn't play and Sam was the guy. You're not going to, like, you couldn't trade Zach Wilson and get a ton of draft choices in return. You could. So, again, next year is not a big-time year for quarterbacks. And, you know, you think about next year's with Sam Howell at North Carolina, maybe Jaden Daniels at Arizona State, Caden Slovis at USC. It's not that elite, super elite quarterback next year right now the way it looks. So you could get a lot in return. So I would have thought it was a win-win. They didn't. I guess some argued that point, but not, you know, at the end of the day, I think the bottom line is getting the two, getting the four in 2022, where we'll be back to normal, hopefully. The scouting year will be the same. We have guys out there, you know, doing the job the way they always did it, where this year that was not the case. So those picks next year are more valuable for that reason. You get the sixth round pick this year, so that's three players. But I do think the two and the four next year allowed them to feel, you know, good enough to say, okay, we can make this move and just, you know, turn the page and draft Zach Wilson and start building talent up around him.
I would just think New York would make that the X factor, Mel, to have a quarterback controversy right away where if Wilson wins the job but stinks in the first game, then everybody's calling for Sam, and then you're going to have a yo-yo at quarterback, and then if it ends up being Sam that loses out on the job, which you would hope for because you spent a second overall pick in Wilson – well, then you're letting him walk for nothing.
I just don't know how you'd expect. See, I would do it this way. I would have done it where there's no way I can expect Zach Wilson to be the guy in the NFL this year. I mean, he's coming, like you say, coming from BYU and level of competition and all that. So you're letting, you know, Zach sit. Well, like Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith his first year. He didn't play. He played the one final game of the year in the playoffs. Alex played. So, you know, now you have Sam. You see what Sam can do. My point here was to see what Sam can do. You don't let him go until you find out with better talent, can he be the quarterback they thought he would be, or the organization did back when they drafted him as the third pick overall, okay, ahead of Josh Allen. Okay, he was the pick. He was the guy everybody thought was going to be great. Well, let's see. Now that we give him better talent, let's see if he can do it. If he can't, then he's going to be a free agent and let him go. Then you have Zach Wilson. Then in year two, he'd be, or sometime this year, or certainly obviously next year, he would become the guy. So you got a fallback plan the young quarterback would be. If you hit the jackpot, if Sam played great, then you can trade Zach. So it wouldn't be a controversy. It wouldn't be that, because it would be Sam to see if he could do the job at the level you expect. If he can't, and he's just a, you know, just a decent quarterback, that's it. Then you have Zach Wilson waiting there to be the guy that can get you to the next level, if that's possible. Now, if you're 0-2, you're gone. If you keep Sam and he doesn't do it, and you draft Zach Wilson and he doesn't do it, then somebody else has to come in and try to figure out the quarterback position. Here, though, Sam's in Carolina in a pretty good spot, and now it's Zach Wilson only. So I would have liked to have had more of a win-win there with Zach and Sam, but they're, and you know, if you move the pick, then you move down and get a great receiver to help Sam. But obviously they felt like that Zach Wilson was a much better quarterback than Sam, or better than Sam Darnold. You don't make that deal. You got to believe Zach Wilson's going to be a great quarterback to make the move like this and then let Sam Darnold go.
I saw a stat today, Mel, that 42% of first-round quarterbacks are bust, or what you would be considered a bust. So of the four quarterbacks that are going to be taken right at the start of the draft, let's round it off to 50%. Which two do you think have the chance to be bust?
Well, it's easier after it's like the Monday morning quarterback. It's like, okay, after it's all over, you look back. I think the 17 starts for Trey Lance coming out of North Dakota State, if you're expecting him right away or by year one and a half, say, year two, to be the guy, it may be asking a little bit there. So I think Trey Lance has a bust factor. Mac Jones, 17 career starts with the talent around him in Alabama, could. Justin Field, I love the talent. And I think, you know, that will allow him, it's undeniable. I think that's why Zach Wilson is up there, the talent of Justin Fields and Zach Wilson is the reason I have them at 2 and 3 with Mac Jones 4 and Trey Lance 5. So to answer your question, I would say Trey Lance would have the biggest bust factor just because he didn't play this year except for one game. He was 15-30 in that game. He's had some accuracy issues at times, and he's never played against anybody but one AA competition. He's only thrown the ball 23 or fewer times in 14 of those 17 games. He's beaten teams with his legs, but that was the one AA level. So I would say if I had a as far as bust factor, it would be Lance. Then you'd probably get to Mac Jones. And probably a lot of people would say Justin Fields, but I would say more Trey Lance is the guy that I would say as far as the riskiest top 10 pick, it would be him. Now, had he played another year, you wouldn't be saying that, but he didn't have that opportunity this year because of COVID.
Do you believe, Mel, I mean, there's so many rumors out there that, you know, the 49ers gave up so much to move up to number 3 and that they are intrigued by Mac Jones. Do you believe that they'll take Mac Jones?
100% I do. Yeah, I really believe
that. Does that surprise you?
Not because of this. I think when you look at the history of Mike Shanahan and what Kyle Shanahan has been brought up in, with the quarterbacks that they've had, which he's had success with Matt Ryan, and Mort brought up Matt Schaub, and certainly now Jimmy Garoppolo, and he took him to a Super Bowl and then almost beat Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl. But I think you look at the cerebral quarterback, the accurate quarterback. You saw him at the Senior Bowl practices. Watch Mac Jones during that week. I mean, he was getting the play. He was communicating it. It was like a blink of an eye. He was getting, and that's new verbiage. He's doing it. Other quarterbacks are struggling down there with the verbiage, communicating that to the huddle. He was boom, boom, boom. He's a tremendously intelligent kid. He's a very much a competitor, and he's very accurate to all levels, and he's been a winner. So, again, he said, well, that's at Alabama. Well, he still won, and he still put up huge numbers, even after Jaylen Waddle got hurt, and he only had Devontae Smith as a main entity. He still was putting up the numbers, and he lost his center for the final two games, Landon Dickerson, and he still did a great job. So he didn't have the talent around him that Tua did, yet he was at 77%+, and he didn't throw interceptions, and he led that football team. So for this coaching staff, for Kyle Shanahan, I think Mac Jones makes obvious sense.
Great stuff, Mel. As always, we love having you on. Thank you so much.
Should be fun to see how this plays out, guys. Enjoy it. Take care.
All right.
Thanks, Mel.
So that's Mel Kiper Jr. When we get back, there's something that you know, I heard and read today that's troubling about, you know, the Jets' decision. And Joe Douglas spoke to the media today. We'll hear some of what he had to say about making this deal. So I want to hear from you, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.